بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين فمن اقامها اقام الدين فمن ترکها فقد حدم الدین او کما قول علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام. ریسپیکٹڈ علماء اکرام, برادرز ان اسلام, اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ہیز بلیسڈ اس ود ایمان, اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ہیز گرانٹڈ اس اسلام, اللہ رب العزت ہیز گیون اس نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, the best creation of his as a model to follow. Respected elders, previously I have answered one question, that why Islam is best. Today I want to pose another question and try to answer it. The question is very simple, that now we know with certainty that Islam is best. If we are in China or Timbuktu and there are various Muslims around, or if you have to go to America or Canada or England and you have to go away there, and you as a person, as a Muslim, there'll be many groups there, there'll be many organizations there, there'll be many institutes there. Now which one you will say, I must follow? And how will you as a Muslim determine that I must follow this group or I must follow this group? Must I follow the Iraqis? Must I follow the Iranians? Must I follow the Saudis? Must I follow the Pakistanis? Must I follow the Indians? Must I follow the Malaysians? Must I follow the Indonesians? Who must I follow? To take the question, I'm trying to simplify it, to make the question a little bit more difficult, that as a Muslim, who must I follow? The Qadariya, the Jabariya, the Mu'tazila, the Qadianis, the Shias, the Karamiya, the Durzis, the Isna Sharia, who must I follow? So respected elders, what criterion you and I as Muslims must use to determine which group is right, who must I follow, who must I stay away from? That I would like to explain. So understand the question, that must I follow the Islam as it is practiced in Durban? Must I follow the Islam as it practiced in Cape Town? Must I follow the Islam that practiced in Transvaal? Which type of Islam must I follow? Which type of Islam must I adhere to? Which Islam will bring the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Which Islam will bring the mercy of Allah Ta'ala? And how I as a Muslim know that I am on the right? Every person wants to have this, that I must be on the right. We have, alhamdulillah, explained that Islam is best. So that we are certain of. Respected elders, first and foremost, a Muslim must see that the Quran al-Kareem, that group which is saying that we are right, they must have respect for the Quran-e-Kareem. They must love the Quran-e-Kareem. They must recite the Quran-e-Kareem and they must follow the Quran-e-Kareem. The Quran-e-Kareem will say there are three aspects. One is the text of the Quran, the text itself. And one is the belief attached to the text, the interpretation attached to the text. And thirdly is the action attached to the text of the Quran and the action attached to the interpretation of the Quran. So understand these three things. We have got Quran-e-Kareem. There will be no Muslim who says I am Muslim and he says that I do not believe in Quran. So first of all we will say that the Quran has got 6,666 ayats. We'll say they must believe in that. We as Muslims must believe in that. That there must be no alteration in it, no subtraction in it. To this extent, scholars have made research that, for example, there are books written, and if you were to see them, it's very interesting to see them, to just look at them. And we have got them. Come to us, we will show you. To just look at it and see how much work has been done by the ulama-e-haq on the Quran, you will feel extremely happy. They have taken each word of the Quran and they have counted how many times it comes in the Quran. And they tell you where it comes in the Quran without the use of computers or anything, by sheer hard work. It is stated that how many times Alif appears, how many times Ba appears, how many times there are Zabar, Zairs. Every dot has been calculated, has been enumerated, that we know the Quran is complete. So first of all, you will look around and look for that group of Muslims, those Muslims who have this firm belief that the Quran is complete, that the Quran has not been altered, that the Quran, there is no additions in it, that the Quran, there is no subtractions in it. And the Quran, the interpretation given by Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the Quran, we accept that. The interpretation given by the Sahaba on the Quran, we accept that. So we are looking at two things, at the text of the Quran and the interpretation of the Quran. So we will say that that group which accepts the Quran as complete from every aspect, from every angle, and also accepts the interpretation as expounded by beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is correct, the interpretation as elucidated by Sahaba Ikram, companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as valid, as correct and authentic. So, and the beliefs that are drawn from the Quran, we accept. And what the Quran tells us to do, we accept. So you just look around, that group which has got the maximum amount of the huffaz, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assured that He is the protector of the Quran and He is using the huffaz and the ulama to protect the Quran. The huffaz to protect the text of the Quran. Yeah, you must be very clear that the huffaz protect the text of the Quran. The huffaz, hafiz is singular, huffaz plural. Huffaz do not protect the interpretation of the Quran. Huffaz do not protect the translation and the meaning of the Quran. That the ulama do. And we'll have to see that in which group maximum amount of huffaz are produced. Maximum amount of huffaz exist. So any group in the world, if you have to take a survey, that this group or that group will say, how many hafiz that group got? How many hafiz that group got? And then you'll be able to judge that these people love the Quran, these people respect the Quran, these people have got the significance of the Quran in their hearts. That is why they themselves are hafizes and they make their children huffaz also. Then you will see that the ulama protecting the interpretation and the meaning of the Quran in the light of the explanation given to us by Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One is giving meaning of the Quran, interpretation of the Quran, how you and I want it, or just anyhow. But remember, the authentic and valid explanation of the Quran is what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has done, has given us, and what the Sahaba have given us, what the Aimma and Mujtahideen, what the Imams of jurisprudence have given us. That is the valid explanation. Secondly, you will see around us that group which has got love for the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will say the Ahadith. Hadith singular, Ahadith plural. The Ahadith, the sayings of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Which group is involved in protecting that, in safeguarding that, in upkeeping that, in studying that, in spreading that, in dissemination of knowledge of Quran and Hadith? Then many will say, we love Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Again, the Ahadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the text of the Hadith, the interpretation of the Hadith, and the action on the Hadith. Three aspects again. A person cannot say that I love Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I love the Hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but not one Hadith he acts on. He does not follow Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then he falls short. The poet says that the beloved follows the love, or the loved follows the beloved. The loved follows the beloved. If you love someone, you will follow that person. That is why the lover of Layla should kiss the walls of the alleys where Layla walked. Why? Saying that Layla walked here, I want to kiss the walls where Layla walked. That is why you'll see so many stories I can narrate to you, how Sahaba, they loved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One Sahabi in the battlefield, after a battle, and when he was resting in his garden, he came to know that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is no more. He made dua, Ya Allah, I have got eyesight, and with the eyesight I should look at Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is no more. Ya Allah, take my eyesight away. I do not want the eyesight if I cannot see Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today, I address myself first, that how much we are falling short in loving Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in following Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in adhering to what he said. So two things now, the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the walking commentary of the Quran. Understand what I'm saying? That when we want to understand Quran, then we can never do it if we do not use the Sunnah. Why the Sunnah, the way of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is in actual fact Quran in practical form. Quran in practical form is the life of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Understand fully this. That Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to explain to us, practically, to expound to us what is in the Quran. Otherwise Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala could have revealed the Quran and put it on a mountain and we could have taken it and start reading it and interpreting it. But no, Quran al-Kareem came with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Sahib al-Wahi. He was the repository of the Wahi, of the Divine Protection Revelation, and he explained it. Now the third factor is very important, that Quran al-Kareem reached us how? Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached us how? Ahadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached us how? Islam, my respected elders, reached us how? Iman that we have reached us how? The method of making salat, how it reached us? The method how Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Hajj, how it reached us? Every law that we have got, how did it reach us? What is the contact between us and the Nabuwat of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Who told us that Allah Ta'ala exists? Who told us that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came? Who told us that about the Nabuwat, about the Risalat of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? This blessed link are none other than the Sahaba Ikram. the blessed companion, the chosen companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything which I have enumerated to you, Islam, Iman, Quran, Nabuwat, Risalat, the Ahkam, the laws, the rules, the regulations, everything, they reached us because Sahaba conveyed it to us. The first narrators of the Hadith, who are the first narrators of the Hadith, of the sayings of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? None other than the Sahaba. They brought everything to us. So any group, when you look at, and you have to choose now, who must I follow? So I've given you three things. One is that group that loves the Quran and protects the Quran. That group that loves and protects the Sunnah. And that group that loves, respects, honors the Sahaba, the companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who is a Sahabi? Understand that. Understand the definition of who is a Sahabi. Generally, we translate the Kitab, companion of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But what is the technical definition of a Sahabi? Understand that. That person who in the state of Iman saw Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or sat in his company and subsequently in the state of Iman passed away. When we make that definition, then Sahabas like Ibn Makhdum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, blind Sahabi, they should sit in the gathering of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They did not see Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They sat in the gathering. The women folk who were in Parda, they sat in the company of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the era of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they passed away in the halat of Iman, in the condition of Iman, they are Sahabis. If a person says that in this age that I dreamt of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that does not make him a Sahabi. Respected elders, in some cases that does not even make him a pious person. Yes, but if a person says that truthfully speaking, I have seen Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in my dream, then we believe it. Because Shaitan, understand what I'm saying, Shaitan, he can pose to a person in the dream that I am Allah, but Shaitan cannot take the shape of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's how much Allah loves Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Shaitan cannot take his shape, cannot take the shape, and cannot make the claim that he is Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Shaitan can come in the dream and say that I am Allah, you must do this. Allah requires no protection. Allah is independent. Allah is Baniyas. Allah is all-powerful. Allah requires no protection. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Zaat, being, personality, character, that requires protection. That is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the Hadith, Man ra'ani, fakat ra'ani, whoever sees me in the dream has verily, definitely, surely seen me. So those three things that we have to worry about. Protection of Quran, that group that protects the Quran, the text, the interpretation, the meaning and the action and the belief attached to it, that group that loves the Sunnah, protects the text of it, the interpretation, the meaning and the belief, and that group that loves the Sahaba, all of the Sahaba. Every Friday we praise the Sahaba from the minbar. And concerning the Sahaba, I will expound further. Here I want to bring one point to your notice. That remember that the whole world, the kuffar world, they want to attack us and they want to brand us, they want to degrade us, they want to humiliate us, and they want to cause divisions amongst us. And they also want to try to ridicule us at every step and turn. Just this morning, one brother was showing me that in Germany somewhere, some evil person decided to design a dress and to be put onto these naked models which have got Quranic ayats on it. Now they fully well know that these are Quranic ayats, and they are doing this. And then they say, we are sorry. After the Indonesian government makes an appeal that you are doing wrong, you are infringing, and you are doing wrong against Islam, then they say, no, we are sorry that we do not know these are Quranic ayats. Now, how they do all this? And why they do all this? They do this because we are not united. They do this because we are interested in fighting amongst ourselves. They do this capitalizing on us. But remember, respected elders, Allama Iqbal said one very beautiful thing, that Islam is like a rubber ball. The harder you hit it, the higher it bounces. So these people, but what we have to be, that we must be strong on Iman, strong on Islam. How can we be strong on Islam and Iman? We have to become practical. We have to fill the masajid. We have to look like Muslims, behave like Muslims, feel like Muslims, think like Muslims. And when we see somewhere in the world that Muslims are being harmed, if we cannot assist monetarily, physically, morally, we can raise our hands and make dua that Allah help us. And we can forgive these small differences amongst us and become one united body. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding of deen. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.